Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Well, there's a word for us today. I'm so excited about this word today. You know, God is for you. And I brought that message, the first part, some weeks ago. I thought it'd be a one message teaching. As it turned out, this now is part number three. And there is so much I'm thankful for when I consider what it means to say that God is for me. Say, God is for me.
God is for me.
Now, there are people for you, families for you, friends are for you. That's encouraging. But to think that the God of the universe, the creator of all, the most powerful one who ever existed, is for you. Then we'll see in the text that if God is for us, who can be against us, you know? And so you have every reason to be encouraged and no reason to lack hope. And even though life brings a lot of pressures and challenges, we'll talk about that. The fact that God is for you and for us makes the difference. Now, today, we're going to go into a different aspect of this. And here's the title for today. God is for you. Solutions, answers, hope. And it says in parentheses, there is an app for that. Now, I threw it in there. And I got a good reason for putting it in there. You'll see in the word today that there's a good reason why we're saying that. But solutions, answers, and hope is all a part of God being for you. That is, when God is for you, you have solutions. When God is for you, you have answers. When God is for you, you have hope. See, I have solutions, answers, and hope. I am so excited about this word today. Hope it comes out the way I feel it and sense it in my spirit. All right, here's our foundation text. Look at Romans chapter 8. It's on the screen as well. Romans 8, verse 31. If you can see it, read with me. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God gave you the best he had. Gave you Jesus. If he gave you Jesus, he'll give you every lesser thing. And everything in life is lesser than Jesus. He'll freely give us all things. So then let that really resonate in you, because when we're facing challenges and difficulties, what the pressure comes to do is to make you think differently, make you feel like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know where my help is going to come from. I don't know who's going to bring what to me. Well, if he gave you his son, didn't spare his son, but gave him up for us, then he'll give you with him freely all things, right? So that's our foundation text. Let's look at this scripture for today. So let's do this. Let's develop a solution mindset. Say this. Say, I need a solution mindset. Well, it's needed because we often have a problem-oriented mindset. A mindset towards seeing where the gaps are, what's missing, what's wrong, what's out of place. And we see those things. That's real. That's not something you should not look at. But the mindset needs to be, I have a solution, I have an answer, and I have hope. See, I have a solution, I have an answer, I have hope. Now we're going to read the scripture here, Isaiah 59 and 19. We'll read it the way we always read it. And it says this, so they shall fear. The name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But now, we actually don't read it the way we really should read that. See, a solution mindset sees everything differently. Now, here's the foundation. The Bible languages, which were Hebrew, Old Testament, Aramaic, Greek, New Testament, there were no punctuation marks in the original languages. So we read this text, and it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. Now, but look at it this way. Again, solution mindset. Think differently. Watch this. This will bless you. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Commas were inserted, punctuation was added, and both readings are okay. Nothing wrong, it's all scripture, but I like the idea that, all right, rather than seeing the enemy as the flood, come on somebody, rather than seeing the enemy as the flood, all the flood is the Spirit of God. The flood is the Spirit of God coming in and raising a standard. Y'all okay with that? All my life, I heard the other way around. Well, thank God your life can change. Thank God you can think differently. Amen? Because it's okay to understand. Enemy's coming in, but the flood is what God does. So then in a solution mindset, you don't make the problem bigger than God. In a solution mindset, you don't make the enemy bigger than God. You don't make what the devil does bigger than what God is doing. Now listen, in our world, it is that hard to be overwhelmed with negative stuff and negative feelings and have a bad outlook. I mean, the world would train us to think that way. There's so much bad news. And we don't ignore bad news. We don't, we feel and have empathy for anybody and everybody. But the flood is God. For me, I see God as the flood overwhelming the enemy. I don't see the enemy overwhelming me with a flood. He can bring what he wants to bring, but my God is more than enough. Amen? Again, opening text said, if God is for us, who can be against us? So that's one mindset there. Have a solution mindset. Now, here are a couple of quotes I'm going to share with you. I've shared this book with you on many occasions. A book called The Obstacle is the Way. Not a Bible book, but a really good book by a man named Ryan Holiday. He said this. He said, just because other people say that something is hopeless or crazy or broken to pieces doesn't mean it is. Because someone says something is hopeless and crazy and broken to pieces doesn't mean that it is. We decide what story we tell ourselves. Y'all okay with that? That's why I'm saying I choose to see the flood not from the enemy. I see the flood coming from God, a flood of power and good and grace, solutions, answers, and hope. You know, what's interesting is when you learn to think this way, you're gracious with people. You let them talk, but you're thinking, I don't think like that. Let them share, you know, and encourage them and help them. But you say that, I don't think like that. Because, you know, some of us wouldn't have gotten this far if we thought like that. I mean, if the flood was everywhere, if the flood was always the enemy, if every day was a flood of the enemy, you can't make it, you know, long wrestling with floods here and floods there, a flood from the east and a flood from the west. Now, my God is the flood. He also said this. You can take the trouble you're dealing with and use it as an opportunity to focus on the present moment. Now, obviously, trouble will make you focus, you know, but our focus sometime when trouble comes, our focus is the magnitude of the problem. I'm not saying minimize the problem. It is what it is. There's no denying anything that we got to deal with. I'm just saying to us that it's really better for us to take the approach, okay, this is some trouble right here, yeah, right in front of me. But it's an opportunity to focus on the moment, not to get me to run away, to look away, to make excuses, to explain away, but to face it and see it for what it is and go right into it with solutions and answers and hope. Y'all okay with that? Now watch this. So Romans 8:36, so Paul, he said this, again, our text, a second part of our text for today. All right, it is written, and for your sake, Paul said, we are killed all day long. For your sake, the people of God. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, Paul lived in a reality where there was no denying. I mean, if you get beaten and shipwrecked, you can't say, I'm not beaten and shipwrecked. I'm not in prison. You know what I'm saying? He faced everything, but he came behind and said, yet in all these things, in the moment, in these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Many years ago, Jesse Jackson ran for president. And maybe, you know, we remember that, those of a certain age, remember that. He ran and did well. He won a couple of primaries. And someone said, Jesse, you can't win. He said, I'm already a winner. I'm already a winner. What are you talking about? He knew he couldn't win the presidency. He knew that. That wasn't the point. The point is I'm running. And I've won a couple of primaries. I'm showing people what you can do. Keep hope alive. Right here, that phrase famous, keep hope alive. And so that's the mindset you have if you're going to be involved in the community, in community service, community action and ministry, dealing with people in all kinds of states of need. You're going to have a solution mindset. You can't come behind somebody telling you how bad they are with how bad you are. Hey, ain't nothing, listen to this. You can't do that. You know, you cannot just listen to them and then top their bad story with your bad story. Or try to get them to stop talking about where they are. See, the key is we take it all in and we turn it around and make it an opportunity. Make it an opportunity to focus on a solution. Now, frankly, if people don't want to listen to solutions, then just keep listening and check your watch and get up out of there as soon as you can. You know what I'm saying? You can't help them. If they won't even listen, come on, don't even listen to a suggestion of a solution or an answer. Just love on them and pray for them and go away and come back later and try again. But there's no point in you letting yourself be pulled down into a mindset that is not, don't belong to you. Amen? Because life is too precious. We're talking before service today. Among the praise team and I were here and just talking, and we all know this, reflecting on the fact that we come back from vacation, of course you know that, and we couldn't have done that 2 years. For the past two, almost 3 years, we couldn't have gone on a vacation like that because of COVID, you know what I'm saying? And we didn't hardly go. We went for a few months not going anywhere. I remember the day the mayor said, everybody stay, what's the phrase you use, lodge in place? What's the phrase they use? Shelter in place. You couldn't leave your house. They say stay in the house. They said the only exception is you can go for a walk for your mental health. I'm like, I'm on it. I'm going to walk for my mental health. If they stop me, I'm like, hey, I need this. I need this here. You know, we lived through that. We survived it. We thrived through it, in fact, many of us. Who navigated well, we thrived through all that. So now we're at a point where, man, we are more than grateful, more than thankful to be among people to be able to go places, to be alive. And now the thing is, make the most of your life. Say, I'm going to make the most of my life and my time. No, that's right. Don't put it off. Book that trip. You spend your money. You don't, listen, y'all, you don't live to work. You work to live. So at some point, you got to break off some time, break off some money, and go around the corner, go somewhere. You can't go to Europe. Man, go to Louisville. Go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But yet in all these things, see, Paul went through so much, so much. And yet he said, in all these things, in the thing, whatever the thing is, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So Jesus spoke in parables. I'm speaking of parables today. And that phrase we'll talk about now, there's an app for that, is my parable for today. Now, parables were a way to convey principles in an allegoric story that people could understand and relate to, using things to tell stories, all right? We know Jesus did that with seed. You know, the seed fell on the ground, stony ground, fertile ground. We know he talked about pearls. He talked about many things that people could relate to. That was the purpose of a parable, to use a story to convey a principle. So I want to do that today. And so again, my wife and I, we had a trip, went to Nice, France. Now, typically, I don't say where I'm going before I go for a personal vacation, just to keep it, you know, make it somewhat, you know, we live in a fishbowl, you know what I'm saying? Pastors live in a fishbowl. But I enjoy sharing pictures and things, so now that we're back, I'll say where I've been. Well, Nice, France, where we went. And Nice is on the southern coast of France on the Mediterranean Sea. It's called the French Riviera. Okay. It's where rich people go. And then people not so rich go too. We don't do all the things the rich people do. We just kind of look at them and drive through, you know what I'm saying? Okay. But now we did have some lunch on the French Riviera. We had lunch, but not a whole lunch. Looked at the menu like, okay, well, I'll go for the Caesar salad, and we'll share that, you know. I ain't going to tell you what it costs. With lobster in it, he like, is that all you want? Yeah, that's all I want, yes. I just want to say I had lunch, you know, in Cannes, France, you know what I'm saying? I want to say I had it. I mean, I had a piece of lunch, you know what I'm saying? You know how it is, y'all. We're not broke. But we don't just go throw money around either, you know what I'm saying? But you want the experiences. So you find a way to squeeze yourself up in there and get some experience and not spend a whole bunch of money. You know how that works. Okay. So I'm saying that to say, when you travel internationally, even to Canada, you know, or Mexico, which is close, there is a whole different experience, you know, traveling to a different country. Different language, different currency. And so on this trip, more than other trips before, we had to use apps. You know, apps are applications on your phone. We all know about Google. That's a common app. But also we found ourselves using apps like translation apps, English to French and French to English and so forth. So my next slide here just says there is an app for that. And I want to understand, you to understand that there's a parable in the story here. I want you to get this. It's not just about our trip to Nice. It's more about how life has these journeys to places you haven't been before. Now, going to a familiar place is one thing. But going somewhere you haven't been before requires a whole different mindset. A whole different mindset and different tools, right? So I want you to see that when we think about the things that we use to get through life, in this case, digital, phone-based apps, there's an application to that to our lives. in Christ in this world. You'll see it here in our text and also my examples I'm sharing with you today. Now, the easiest way, though, to go on a foreign trip is get into a tour with a bunch of people and get on the bus and ride together on the bus and follow the tour guide, you know, and just do what they say. And that's easy, you know. But my method is different. I'm a photographer. I got to stop and study places and get pictures. So I'm a more of an explorer. And if you ever saw me in a tour bus, you know, he done got old. He done got real old now. You know, pastor got so old, he got to ride the bus. Nothing wrong with that, too. I see myself one day being on the bus with a bunch of people, and we just, you know, they herd us in there, herd us off, herd us back on, and all that. That's the easy way to international travel. But if you do the way of the explorer, you got to have a lot of apps and take a lot of, not risks, but you have to really stretch yourself, because you're going to, now listen, I was stretching my wife big time. She's a trooper. She is a trooper, okay? But I promise you, she may have preferred the bus. You know, but she with me now. I got my drone. I got my cameras. It'd be a nightmare for me to have to be with a bunch of people. All right. But here's the point, though. There's an app for that. Say there's an app for that. So watch this now. So then, app is a short term for application. An application is a computer program that is designed for a particular purpose. We know this. We got phones and devices with apps on them, right? A program, an app is a program you can download onto a mobile phone and use any time. We know this. But what's interesting is, on this trip, it's my first time having to use apps for almost everything. Now, I travel to Africa, it's different. I got a folder full of papers. Passport, papers, all stuffed in there, a paper for this, paper for that. But in Europe, you can't fool with papers. They don't even want to see papers. They want to see an app. They want to see a QR code or something. It was such a different experience. So watch this on the screen. So we had an app for managing the flight and boarding, an app for planning, trip planning in cities. We had an app for bus and train tickets. No tickets. It was an app. Show the phone. All right. We had an app for renting bicycles, an app for navigation, an app for weather, an app for restaurant menus. You know, the restaurant have QR codes on the table. What's that for, you know? Funny story, wife and I, we had our fancy almost lunch in Cairns. There was something on the table. Like, what is, Pastor, what is that thing on? I said, that's an ashtray. We don't see ashtrays on tables up here. French people, them the smokingest people I've seen in a long time. But thing is, they ain't no fat French people. I didn't see any fat French people, none. So they smoke and they fit. I don't know what's going on there. They walk everywhere until they die of cancer, I guess. I don't know. But Pastor's like, what is that? That's an ashtray. It was a fancy ashtray. It wasn't like your typical low-level restaurant ashtray. This is a Cairns beachfront restaurant ashtray. But it was an ashtray. It's kind of funny. All right. We had an app for restaurant menus, an app for translating languages. That came in handy. An app for Uber. An app for clearing customs. That's the first. Usually, you got to have your passport with you and papers. You fill out the custom papers and all that kind of. No, not this time. No. Put your stuff in a mobile, some kind of mobile app, and it creates its own QR code. You can clear customs with an app on your phone. Your passport's with you. They may ask you for it. It's amazing. I've never been on a trip before with everything, almost everything being on an app. And it was an experience. Now, another funny story is we were traveling. We had a car on two occasions. And we drove from Cairns, France. Wanted to go to a place called Izay. And it was about 40 miles away. And so I had my navigation app, and we're driving up in the foothills of the French Alps. All right? Now, I'm watching navigation. We had Apple CarPlay in the car, you know, all that. And I'm watching. It said we are 15 minutes away. I said, great. Looked up and it said 35 minutes away. Like, whoa, what happened here? And I realized what happened was we had lost cell signal. So navigation kind of dropped out, and we missed a turn. And we missed a turn on a road, more like a turnpike, with very few exits. And once you miss your exit, you're going a long way to the next one. And so then, so we're, you know, getting the app, but the thing about apps is, you have to be online. Unless the app is loaded into the phone, doesn't require being online. All right, so here's the thing. So it was a negative that we missed the turn, but the positive was it took us further down the road, and it took us to a different place, a place called Monton, spelled like Minton, and we wound up in a place called Monaco. Now, Monaco is a whole country the size of a city. Didn't know that. That was Monaco, France. No, Monaco is Monaco, Monaco. It's the second smallest country in the world. The smallest is Vatican City, city-state country. Well, so the point is, we had so in the moment, it was bad. We missed the turn. We had a backup on the other side of the road. We couldn't turn around. The backup was severe. We had to go a different way. It took us into a whole different part of France and then into Monaco. It was all beautiful, all amazing. Just wonderful, okay? So doesn't life do that sometime where, you know, you have a plan and the plan doesn't go according to what you anticipated? But if you don't lose your mind and freak out, there's an opportunity sometime in the challenge. And we learned that through COVID. I mean, COVID was hard, y'all, but we found a way to be online, to do Zoom. I mean, we found ways to have joy and laughter, even through a pandemic. So this really taught me, that whole experience reminded me that, man, life is just like this. I mean, it's like a trip where the app just kind of doesn't work the whole way through. And we miss a whole turn. All right, so then that was experience. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Is there an app for managing your life? Is there an app for drawing close to God? Is there an app for dealing with problems? I'm asking you, is there an app for managing your life? Is there an app for drawing close to God? Is there an app for dealing with problems? Well, next slide. The answer is yes. There's an app for that. But that app is not on your phone. Amen. The app for how we navigate problems, draw close to God, managing life, is not on the phone. This app is in your heart and in your mind. Watch this, because app means what? Application. Method, application. And this application is wisdom and knowledge from the Lord and from others and from Scripture. You got that? So then on this trip, I thought about the sermon today. I didn't work on a sermon on that vacation, but it occurred to me, wow, this is, you know, it's amazing. When you're a minister, a teacher, a preacher, or any kind of educator, you're always drawing lessons from life. I thought, man, all these apps we're using, there's got to be a sermon there somewhere. So here's the sermon. Here it is right here. Now, so let's look at some apps or applications of wisdom and knowledge. Let's first talk about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's mission landed him in good trouble. That's a phrase coined by John Lewis. You know, good trouble is when you're doing the right thing, getting trouble for it. Good trouble. Helping others, making a difference. So Jesus, Paul was persecuted and jailed on occasions, but watch this. He found solutions, answers, and hope in his situations. How we know it? Well, here's an example right here. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Paul wrote this to the church. He said, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my situation has actually turned out to advance the gospel. You see it coming now? See, my situation, Paul said, my trouble has turned out to advance the gospel. He said, the whole imperial guard and everyone else knows that I am in prison for the sake of Christ. Now, who makes a good thing out of being in prison? Well, Paul does. He wasn't there because of a crime he committed, at least not against God. But Paul, rather than make the whole thing negative, woe is me, why am I here? Paul said, you know what? God's going to use this right here. There's an app for that. There are solutions and answers and hope in my situation. Paul said this, most of the brothers and sisters having confidence in the Lord, watch this, because of my imprisonment, now more than ever dare to speak the word fearlessly. Dr. King did that, did exactly that. Dr. King and those heroes and sheroes who fought for our civil rights wound up sometime in jail for defying, you know, bad laws. All right? So then, and that turned out to encourage other people to take a stand, to have boldness, to have courage, didn't it? And so then, God uses these things if we understand this is how God is working, how the kingdom works, it works this way. So we don't want trouble. We don't just create trouble. But if you serve God and live right, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Difficulty. The app on your phone won't work sometimes. See, natural things won't work sometimes. So just like life, you'll learn how to seek God, to apply an application of your heart and mind. Right? Apply an application of your heart and mind, lessons from others, lessons from Scripture to take you through your situation. It's good, isn't it? Now look at this one here. Jesus faced a challenge that defined his purpose and equipped him to become our Savior. We call this the ultimate application. Jesus learned. Jesus Word says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Hebrews says that about Jesus. Jesus learned something. He learned, as a man, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Well, you don't get out of that. You don't, ain't no exemption for you or me. In that regard, amen? And haven't we learned obedience by our sufferings? I mean, if we're paying attention, some people just keep on knocking their head against the wall and don't learn. But some of us are like, I'm only going to suffer that thing one time. I mean, I'm not going back over that. No. Because life doesn't work that way where we go through something and fail once and go back and fail again. That's not how life works, y'all. We're supposed to learn, right? Okay. Watch this about Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. This will bless you. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Everybody say amen. 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 But hold on. There's more. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Oh, my goodness. You just told me you're pleased with me. You're going to send me out there now? This is how life works. No matter how great you are, how great you think you are, or how good you've done. I got straight A's on a test. Well, you're going right back into something else to test you again. Amen? See, these kids, they graduate. It's always fun. They throw the hat, throwing the caps around. I'm graduated. I'm done. You're not done. It's called a commencement. You're just starting. So then it's undergrad, you know, postgrad. I mean, if you're committed to learning, you kind of tamp down the celebration and keep your eyes on the prize. That's what I'm trying to say. So Jesus heard these words, and the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. Wow, that's kind of rough. Come on, Lord. But Jesus needed to discover solutions, answers, and hope. Not for himself, but for all of us. But this phrase here, I hadn't saw it really until last week. Heard a message by Bishop Jakes about this, but tempted by Satan, he was there with wild beasts, animals out there. You know, now I don't know what kind of beasts are out there. I don't know about you, but I don't like wild beasts. I like my cat. That's the only beast I like is my cat, okay? But can you imagine being somewhere where you don't know what's out here? So Jesus was out there in peril, but also is out there in purpose. And the angels ministered to him. So then get the picture. So this is what Jesus went through for our sake, and then somewhat we go through as well, where we know God's with us. He's already told us. He's spoken over us, and yet sometimes we go direct into wilderness places. But we're not hopeless. We're not in any danger, really, because we're going in with the Spirit of God. Got that? And sometimes, next slide, sometimes we live among Satan's temptations, wild animals, and angels. And we need an app for that. We need solutions in a life where we have wild animals, I mean, wild people, if you will. We have COVID, one example. We were on a vacation to a foreign country, no danger, but everything was so different. And so we're out of our element. We had to have applications. Now, next point here. So then, now Matthew's gospel provides some detail on the same story. Now, we read about Jesus going to the wilderness, being sent to the wilderness in Mark's gospel. And now the same story is here in Matthew's gospel, but it gives some detail. And we'll see how Jesus found solutions, answers, and hope, especially in the application of the Word of God. Now watch this. So walk with me here. It's kind of tedious, but go with me, please. Matthew 4. If you can't see the screens, use your Bible. Matthew 4 and 1. All right. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." So Jesus is hungry 40 days, 40 nights, and the devil come along saying, "Hey, you hungry, man? Obey me and turn those stones into bread. Do what I want. Follow my agenda. Go my way. Use your power and turn these stones." Jesus said, answered and said, "It is written." Now, this is the app, y'all. It's called an app. Application, right? Application number one. "It is written." He quoted, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Christ didn't go find a Bible and find, he knew this. He remembered, he knew the scripture. He knew, he lived by it. Things you know by, things you live by, you know. Well, Old Testament. He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So watch this going on. All right. So then Satan came back, and Satan's pretty slick, all right? So then the devil, verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down." And the devil said, "It is written." This is slick, y'all. You know, you got people out here talk about Jesus and God and the Bible, and they full of the devil himself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the devil can quote scripture, y'all. Do not be impressed with somebody say, I'm a Christian. Don't be impressed without the fruit. But the devil quoted the scripture and said, he said, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. The devil knows scripture. He knows what scripture says. He don't live by it. He can quote it. But Jesus came back and said, well, it is also written. Application number two. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Whew. This is what happened in the wilderness. That Mark didn't give us the detail. We got detail here in Matthew's gospel. Now, next one. Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, all this I will give you, he said, which he was lying. He don't have it to give, but the devil talks like that. If you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and him only and serve him only. The Bible says the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Now, a different gospel says the devil left for a more opportune time. This is heavy, y'all. Say there's an app for that. Yeah. And the application is the word of God, wisdom, knowledge. Come on, somebody. That's why, listen, we need to have the word in us, because you can't go find the Bible always and Google the scripture. Come on, somebody. We got to know what the word, I'm not so much be able to quote the scripture verbatim, not know where it is, but to quote it, to know what it says, to say what it says. That's so key. I mean, many times I can tell you, almost every day it seemed like things happen and I'm in the middle of some issue, but then a scripture comes up in my mind from my spirit. I get a scripture. I got to find where it's from. Sometime I know, but I know the scripture. And so this is what Jesus did, y'all. It's a perfect example for us of what it means to be solution-minded, to have application ready to apply. Sometimes there's no time to go get it. You got to have it. Amen. Why all this is important? Well, the Bible says this. Next slide. All right. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and we should do the same. Listen to this. 1 John 3:8. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So listen, y'all, the things that we're doing in life and in ministry and as a church family, I mean, whether it is missions all the way to Africa or whether it's community service in some area of need in the city, even we, like Dr. Kelly sits on different boards and she's involved with policy that's shaping how we interact with children, how schools work, that's all about destroying the works of the devil. Come on, at one level or another. Because the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Well, we are here. Christ came to give us life. And those who are educators, my wife retired, Nicole Johnson, still teaching. I mean, we don't phrase it like this, but we are these seeking to destroy the works of the devil in areas of ignorance, in areas of lack of health, violence, yeah, poor character. We don't phrase it that way, but our mission is the same mission Jesus has. So then let me say this in the end. God is for you. Say, God is for me. Say it, come on. God is for me. Yeah. And so that let everything you learn in life and when you hear messages and teaching, go to seminars, and your professional development, all of it's designed to give you application to apply to your life and to help other people. And more, y'all, I'm beginning to appreciate that God is using so much. God's using a whole lot of things out here, y'all. God's using people I wouldn't use. Not because he approves of people, but those folk have something he wants to use to help somebody else. If y'all think that everything you need is going to come from somebody carrying a Bible, you won't get very far. You won't find much help. Because the fact is, if you need help, spiritual help, salvation, deliverance, and things of the Spirit, yeah, that's one thing. But when it comes to the whole of life, man, God gives you all kind of people, applications and tools and ways in which to navigate this life. Amen? Father, thank you that because you are for us, Lord, nothing can be against us. In fact, you have a way of turning everything around to make it useful. Even the challenges, even the trouble, Lord, you have the power and the means to turn that in a way where it becomes something helpful to us. Lord, thank you that, as we said from the outset, Lord, that we now understand our perspective is a solution mindset, Lord. Now, no more do we see the enemy as the flood. We see you as the flood of good, the flood of power, the flood of help. And I thank you, Father God, that you raise up a standard against every situation that we face that needs to have solutions and answers.